It's interesting to me, as one reads in some of the ancient cuneiform text, the boasts that were made by different kings. In two texts, Hammurabi boasts considerably about his greatness. In a Sumerian text, it reads as follows: Kadingaraki Mubi Humunima An Ub Dalimaba Henidirik Nimelam Namlu Galamu Zag An Kike He Indul Hurshuam Dinger Gal Galine Siganina Hu Mushi in Bariesh, which translated reads, Babylon, its name I have exalted, the four regions have I magnified, the fear of the splendor of my royalty, the confines of heaven and earth has covered. Upon this the great gods with favor have looked. The boast that Hammurabi here makes about the fear of his splendor covering the confines of heaven and earth. There is a similar boast that occurs in the epilogue of Hammurabi's code, where it reads, and he again is boasting that he is the Sharum Shah in Shari, the king who is among kings. And he is Shuturu Anaku, the king among kings is great, am I. Awatuya Nashka Luti Shananam Ul Ishu Ina Kibit Shamish Dayanu Rabim Shashamayim U Ki Mishari Inakalam Lish Tepi, which translated is, my choice words, my ability, there is no rival. One of the things that impresses me is the boastfulness of these kings. Hammurabi later says that he is Kima Abim Waladim, who is like a real father, Ananishi, to the people, speaking of Hammurabi as a father to his people. With this great boasting of worldwide dominion and worldwide power, my mind goes to the psalmist in Psalm chapter 2, where it says that the kingdom of Messiah would be an eternal kingdom and one that would be worldwide. It is interesting to me in chapter 2 that when we have this setting up of the king of Israel who anticipates the Messiah, it says this, Sha'al mi menivet nagoyim nachalatecha v'achuzatecha afse aretz. Ask of me, and I will give the goyim, the nations, for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. No Israeli king ever fully fulfilled that except the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ will have a kingdom that will know no end, a kingdom that will be worldwide, because the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever in Revelation chapter 11. It is interesting also that he is the true father. In Isaiah chapter 9, he is Aviad, the eternal father. He is the one who also brings counsel and justice. Hammurabi went on to boast about his ability to provide the ideal justice. But it is Jesus Christ who is the mighty counselor, the wonderful counselor, Peleioates, and the eternal God and the everlasting Father. And he brings perfect justice as the final reigning Messiah, and provided a way that we could be acquitted through our faith in him before the Heavenly Father, so that he could bring peace to our hearts and become our eternal King and our eternal Father, who is destined to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as Hammurabi had boasted that he was a king among all kings, among whom there was no equal, I'm reminded of Revelation chapter 19. When Jesus Christ returns, he is called the King of Kings, Melech Melechim, and the Lord of Lords. May we bow before our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the King in whose kingdom this whole world will cover. And let's worship him as our ultimate sovereign and King among all kings, in whom there is no equal, for he is the highest of all the kings of the earth, and even kings, Isaiah says, in Isaiah 52, will shut their mouths at him. For that which has been declared to them, they have not seen, or that which will be declared to them, they have not seen. And we are told in Philippians chapter 2 that every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, either worshiping him as Savior, King, or as King and final judge. But he is the King of all kings.